And hello, everyone.
Blog Talk Radio.
But now, good morning. It's evening. I'm Kay Thompson, and welcome to the Kay and Gus Show. By the way, Aviyana Jones is with me right now. We're going to be just, you know, shooting the breeze for a little bit because everyone, we're going to be talking to Professor Ali Al-Rahman, who was the head of the Guardians, you know, years ago. Hi, Aviyana.
Hey, Kay. How are you?
And Aviyana Jones is here. Her show is coming up next. What's the name of the show, Ken?
This is Aviyana Jones. Very creative, huh? You never would have guessed that.
You know, and I was wondering what the name of it was going to be, right? I always call Aviyana me. What is the gist of the show? It sounds really good.
I talk about all the politics as they are related to art.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, obviously, current events finds its way into it, but I'm really an avid artist, obviously. I'm a very creative person, but I'm also very concerned about activism in those areas.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
I'm what you would call a creative activist.
When you say art now, are you talking about painting and, you know, that kind of thing? Or you're talking about as an artist, a musician, a singer, a vocalist?
The answer to your question is yes and
yes. To all.
I'm talking about all of it. Painting, dancing, singing, rap, writing, poetry, literature, performance, poetry.
Yeah.
All of it. Any way in which people creatively express themselves, I'm interested in that.
Yeah. Well, you know, and then you're going to enjoy next week's show because on next week's show, and I haven't even given my whole open yet, but I'll do that in a minute. Next week's show is going to be Betty Neals, an author, a writer, an educator. Fantastic. She does a lot of things with different jazz groups. And she's from Newark, New Jersey, okay?
Nice.
And Glenda Taylor.
I love her.
Remember Glenda with the, you know, because she's legally blind and she's written poetry. And both of them see things. They see things that, you know, if you have a little bit of, you know, the spirit weaving.
There's different ways of seeing.
Yeah, absolutely. Then you can sort of like project something and then you just know something.
Right.
You know, and I have that going on a lot. For instance, if you call me on the telephone, I'll always say the name because somehow the name just pops into my head.
Mm-hmm.
And some people say it's psychic. I don't know if there's a name for it. It's just a feeling.
Maybe you're disconnected.
Yeah.
You're connected to the universe in a way.
Oh, you mean just connected?
Yeah, so maybe it's just being connected.
Yeah, I feel that. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's kind of motivational also. You know, so. But with your show now, it's how old now? About five shows?
It's about 6 weeks in. I think.
Yeah
today is the sixth show.
Uh-huh.
Very
uh-huh.
excited.
And who are you going to have?
Wise Intelligent of the Poor Righteous Teachers, my favorite rapper of all time.
Wow.
Yeah,
very exciting. Be very exciting, yeah.
Yeah, he's not just a rapper, though. He's not just a musician. And I think that's probably why I connect so well with him as a guest, because I'm not just an artist. I'm also an activist, and I want to change the world. And
so you two vibe together, then.
Oh, he's been working for a long time to encourage youth to not only rap, but to own their own businesses.
Yeah.
And to turn their communities around. So really excited to have him on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, tonight we're going to be talking to Ali Al-Rahman, as I said before, who was the head of the Guardians, the police. I had created a segment called Police Report when I was on WLIV. And this falls right into what we were doing years ago. It's amazing how history repeats itself, or not necessarily repeats itself. It goes on and on and on and on. And I'm talking about the on and on and on when I'm talking about racism, and I'm talking about what happened to young Trayvon Martin, you know, in Florida, and nothing's being done about it. Well, the same thing, this is like continuous. As you wonder, and how in the world, why is this still going on? Well, when we had a police report on the WLIB, Ali Al-Rahman, who's now a professor, you know, was the head of the Guardians, which is a police group who were really very interested in protecting the community.
Right.
And they were a group of police persons, you know, the black cops and whatnot. So they would come on because so many people were calling in when they had problems with the police department, but they had nowhere to go. Now, somebody in the police department told me about the civilian review board. Well, I'm here to tell you that the civilian review board at that time was a total and complete waste of time.
I thought you were going to say joke. That's why I started laughing.
Joke is, well, I'm being nice when I say joke, but it was.
Right.
Because people weren't really, their redresses weren't even being redressed. Okay, so when I asked Ali Al-Rahman, and he got about five or six police persons to come in every week to deal with these problems, you know, and to give people encouragement. Because people were calling with all kinds of things. I remember one kid, you know, he had been pulled through a window.
Oh, my God.
You know, and he had nowhere to go. And that was the kind of thing that was happening, and mainly in Harlem and, of course, in Brooklyn and, you know, the rest of, New York anyway. Not to say that it wasn't happening in Jersey, because you know it was, especially in Newark.
Sure.
So, but that portion, that segment was so good. So I had been hunting for and looking for Ali El-Rahman for a long time. Finally found him. One of the guys gave me a number, got to him, and he is on his way here. So I'm going to be very pleased to sit down and
talk to him. That's great. Yeah. Can't wait to meet him.
So, but this is the Kay and Gus Show, Ayanna, and Gus is listening in. I hope he's listening in. Anyway.
We miss you, Gus.
Yeah, miss him. Miss him terribly, really. And this is every Wednesday from 8 to 9, by the way. And we take a closer look at exciting news, information, education, and global communication issues. In other words, anywhere in the world, we want to know what's going on. And we will be broadcasting, or rather broadcasting, that information here in Jersey City here at BW Moving Images. And you guys are really fantastic with the new network, GoPro Radio Network.
We are very excited. It's our fledgling. Well, not anymore, because I think it's pretty smoothly up and running at this point.
Yeah.
But it is our newest. Well, I can't claim all the credit. Tylon, you save your Washington. Envisioned this network, to provide a voice for people in the community.
Yeah, yeah.
And bridge the gap between terrestrial radio and internet radio. And I think he's done a fantastic job.
Now, tell people, what do we mean by terrestrial radio?
Terrestrial radio is the traditional radio that you turn on your radio and listen to. Mm-hmm. The one that's plugged into your wall that doesn't move and has the knob, and you can turn the dials up and down, and you can find the frequencies. That's what's considered terrestrial, because it's literally tied to the ground,
I see.
Internet radio is a whole other animal.
Yeah.
Because it's out in cyberspace. It's all digital.
And I love it.
And you love it. And you know what? Guess what? People love you, because they can hear you all over the world.
I know. It's such a new concept.
You don't have to be in a particular town in a particular city. So it's the good
or a
way.
Particular country.
It's the good way of broadcasting.
Yeah.
It's the good way of, what's that word that they use? Not conglomeration. Syndication.
Syndication.
It's a good way of
syndicating. Yeah. This is more than syndication.
Sure.
Okay, because you get on and you're not only heard locally and nationally, and internationally, but I said globally, which is the same as internationally, but globally.
Right.
I mean, the concept of that is mind-blowing. You know, for instance, when we were talking to Congressman Donald Payne, you know, we had him on the phone. And I think he was someplace in Africa at that particular time. And we were able to get the feeling of the information about the different things that we should know going on in Congress, because he did represent a lot of the African, countries.
Sure, and we miss him, too.
Yeah, we miss him. Boy, I'm telling you, too soon. But anyway, that's the kind of thing that we're doing, and we will bring all kinds of issues, and we'll deal with all kinds of issues. And you know one thing, I'm so glad of this because of the fact that we don't have the same kind of restrictions. We don't have the same kind of restrictions here on internet radio.
For instance,
everybody, if you're listening, call your friend and say, come on, let's listen to Kay and Gus on Blog Talk Radio. Go to Blog Talk Radio, and then you go to the Kay and Gus Show.
But people can also call you, too. So they don't have to just be on a computer. They can give you a call.
Yeah. And they can call on that number, which is 323-679-0906. That's 323-679-0906. We're going to go for a break right now, everyone, and we will be right back. Stay with us.
So everything we do is service oriented. We're excited about digital technology. We're excited about the future. On Blog Talk Radio, there are over like 13 million people with shows. And while they do run the challenge of getting out there and letting people know that they're broadcasting, that's where we come in. You know, with our marketing expertise, we also have a studio right here. Well, it's difficult for you to run a show and engineer your own show. Anybody who has a show knows that it's not easy to do that unless you have help. So what we offer people is a team here that can engineer your show, an online engineer that can feed you information on the topic that you're discussing, an in-studio engineer that can make sure your levels sound good, that your mic is connected, that your internet connection is not getting interrupted. We also have somebody that monitors the show to see how it's sounding while you're on there, as though they're a listener out there in the universe.
Thompson from Kay and Gus Show on GoPro Radio Network, where we are committed to giving you a closer look. On our show, we talk about politics, art, business, education, culture, current events, and most importantly, history. And we have.
And what these services do is to help you to have a better show. Because, you can be on Blog Talk just like you can be on YouTube. But do you have professional people who are shooting? Do you have
Do you have professional people who are helping you to engineer your show? BW Moving Images offers that service under the GoPro Radio Network. We're looking to have a well-rounded roster, people who do political shows. Folks want to talk about sports. You want to have a cooking radio show, which I've never heard of, but I just thought of that, so you need to copyright that. But a cooking, you know, sports, something funny, whatever it is, just to build that up, you know, under the BW Moving Images umbrella. You know, we really are a multimedia company, and we want to have our hands in all those kinds of things, because people are listening to the radio. They're logging on and listening to shows, and we want to be there if they're doing that, whether it's filmmaking or otherwise. You know, and now's the time for all of those independent folks to get together and really network with each other so that, you know, we can have access not only to the tools that we need to build a great radio show, but to build roads to an audience so that people will know we're here and will listen to our stuff. You know, that's always been our goal here at BW Moving Images. You know, like I said, not just to make great content, but to connect with a really great audience and continue to inspire them and be inspired by them.
We're back. Kay Thompson here for the King Show, and I'm talking to Ayanna Jones, whose show is coming right up right after mine, right?
9 p.m. Right Eastern time.
9 p.m. What did you tell Sam you were going to be talking about tonight?
Just tonight I'm talking
again?
Sure. I'm talking to Wise Intelligent of Intelligent Music, and we're going to be talking about his music. We're going to be talking about his programs that he has for the youth in his community. And I'm sure we'll end up talking about current events because Wise Intelligence is very political.
Yeah, good, as we all and as we should be, you know?
Exactly.
What are your feelings about the Trayvon case in Sanford, Florida?
Well, you know, I've talked about it for the last two shows. It's something that I can't really get out of my mind. It's not so much that I'm married to the media and that every time they show something, I'm saddened. But you know, Trayvon looks like our cousins, you know, our nephews. And I think people don't understand how profound a connection that black people have when they see a child, you know, who's no longer with us. You know, people think that black people are responding to the media that, oh, we're just getting all riled up. But we're really tired of, you know, our lives being considered expendable. And I just think it's a travesty that this guy, George Zimmerman, is still walking around. Mostly, I think that we have not seen this much racial discussion in this country since Obama was elected. It seems as though Trayvon's case is opening up the floodgates in terms of dialogue, and you're really getting a chance to see how some folks feel.
You know, this is like when during the 70s and the 80s, when there were so many cases of, you know, police brutality, meanness, killings, and so forth. There's just this case that that Ty was about. Is it Richard Chamberlain, I think his name, an old man, and he was shotgunned to death because he didn't, and that was where, and what state?
I'm not sure of the location or the man's name,
yeah,
but I heard about
it. We can get that later, but
I want to say a decorated soldier. Or?
Yeah, he was a veteran. He was a veteran, and he wouldn't open his door. We'll get the real story on that. You know, I don't have that in front of me right now. Maybe we can get it up on the computer, but if not, I mean, that kind of thing is still happening, and this is a repeat of the 70s and the 80s. This thing had to happen.
Sure.
It had to happen, and it was bound to happen because it was getting to be too much again. Okay, not that it's ever lessened, but you see, a lot of the people in the media, and I don't know why, maybe because we have a number of different black people on MSNBC, NBC, let's say MSNBC and CNN, okay, people who are really involved with, you know, doing a story, and therefore they're going to do these stories.
Right.
But the danger of this is, Ayanna, is that when the story is no longer in the major network on television and radio, it sort of dies. And when we were on WLIB, which was the most controversial station, you know, in the metropolitan area.
Sure, I remember that.
We caused things to happen. For instance, with police report, some of the police persons knew that they were then being watched, okay? And so we had a little, you know, there were movements. Farrakhan came. He was on the show. Jesse Jackson was on the show. Dominic Carter. We had people reporting from everywhere, giving us information. And I think that scared a lot of people. And that also made a lot of people complacent. Do the reality shows play a part in that? Yes, yes, they are. They're crazy and that kind of thing. I watch them. They'd be fun. But at the same time, they should never forget exactly who they are. Right. Because it's necessary that you remember who you are and the color of your skin.
Right.
That's unfortunate, but guess what? That's the way it is.
It's just like people who jog in Central Park at 10 o'clock, and then it's like they should have the right to jog in a park. But
exactly.
It's like, but then if something happens to you, you have to understand the environment in which you live.
Yeah, yeah.
Which brings me to another thing about how, you know, those young gentlemen were railroaded in the whole Central Park jogger case.
Oh, just,
I think, and you'll say, well, how is that connected? It's just connected because it just
connected.
Seems like it's so difficult
the
for
Central
black
Park
people
too.
In this country
yeah.
to get justice.
Yeah. And they were accused of that. And lo and behold, later on, do you know they were found not guilty of it?
One of them
but
is my very good friend from high school.
Was all that? Oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
And Elon McGrath was the one who kept trying to keep that story alive.
Right.
Anna Phillips was
right.
over at CBS, and she was just over at ABC during 2020. She was the one who kept that story alive.
Right.
And then it died down because anybody wasn't talking about it. And a very popular person, you know, took out a full-page ad.
Mm-hmm.
Calling these young boys wilding animals and all that sort of thing, you know,
that they were wild,
really. And they hadn't been; their parents hadn't been, you know, notified when they were arrested. No, that was a story that was really deep. They just took
it. It has
kids,
so many layers,
you know. It did. So what is it? You know, I'll tell you another thing. Most black. See, you don't have a son your age, right,
mm-hmm.
to go college. Not when I say your age. You don't have a son who's college age.
I certainly
right?
hope I don't have.
Yes,
I have to know about.
No, I got it.
How old am I again?
But anyway, the worst thing that a parent can do and has to do is when they're, if you have sons, and the ladies listening will understand this. The worst thing I had to do with Eric when he was growing up, you know, going off to college,
mm-hmm.
was I had to sit him down and I had to tell him, when you are on the way to school, because he went to school at, you know, at Hampton University, you know, in South,
mm-hmm.
in Hampton, Virginia. And I had to tell him, if a state trooper on the turnpike or the parkway stops you, now there are policemen on the parkway, state troopers are, you know,
sure.
the state. I said, what you do is you do not talk back and you do not raise your voice and you just let them talk and you're going to be very calm, even though they may stop you for absolutely nothing. Okay, I had to worry about saving his life, okay, when he stepped out of the door. I had to worry about saving his life when he just drove the car because there was a possibility that he would be stopped by some racist white cop,
mm-hmm.
okay? And I was angry at that time because it was happening so many times. There was a group of young black and Latino guys who were going down to play in a basketball game. They were stopped on the New Jersey Turnpike. Everybody knows about it, you know? So these things, it's like them... They're not repeating themselves. They're continuing, and it's about time that they stop this kind of nonsense.
Right.
So, and they're still doing it. So, people have to realize that if in a few years, the country is not going to be predominantly white. It's going to be predominantly black and brown.
Right.
Accept it. We better start getting along with each other. You better start being fair. Those of you who are in the police department, because, you know,
well, can I just
the
tell
time
you something?
Is coming.
Can I just tell you something
yeah.
on that point of,
mm-hmm.
while I don't have a son, I do have a younger brother.
Yeah.
And more importantly, I have a daughter.
Uh-huh.
And
mm-hmm.
just earlier this week, she actually asked me a question that let me know. It's not just, unfortunately, it's not just our black boys who are
yeah.
under attack.
Mm-hmm.
What should I do if the police stop me? Should mm-hmm. I cooperate with them or should I say I want to call my parents?
Yeah.
This is a realistic question that young black people, regardless of gender, have to ask.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the particular details of the case, but I know that a young black woman was just killed by police. This is within this month.
Oh, really? Where?
I don't have the details. I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, I want to find out.
And I'll probably talk about it later on my show, just so you
mm-hmm.
know we're not sitting
Let
around as though
know,
we don't
so
have
I
the details.
Let me know so I can give you support on that also. I'm going to talk about it also.
But can I just tell you that it's about the color of your skin. It's no
sure
longer
it
about the gender.
Yeah, sure it is. I don't know why these people are so naive as to think it's not.
Right.
You know, they can say anything else. You don't see white kids being shot down like that by people accidentally. And then they want to say, for instance, there was a show on the other day, and they were saying that, oh, there's so many, you know, black people on television. Well, do you say that when there's so many white people on television? What the heck is that
right.
of you all?
Right.
You know,
at one point, it was only white people on television.
Absolutely.
Was anybody remarking,
absolutely.
Oh, there's so many white people on television?
You know what I did one time when I was on WLIB? I like jeans, you know, and I was wearing jeans. And then I got to the point where I said, I'm not even going to, you know, buy jeans anymore because of the fact that I don't see me wearing them.
Right.
until they see some of the models, you know, modeling jeans, then I'll buy them. And then I'll pick out the, but you know, one thing, if I'm going to spend my money, and you know you want my money,
mm-hmm.
you know, because in our community, you know, we have what, annual spending possibilities in the
mm-hmm.
billions?
Yes.
Okay. So money talks, fine. Then you show me that you want to advertise to me and that you want to get my money, and then maybe I'll buy your product.
Right.
And we have to get to the point where we do that with everyone also, which is happening right now. So, boy. Well, I'm Kay Thompson here, and I'm sitting here talking to Ayanna Jones, and we are awaiting the arrival of Ali Al-Rahman, and I'm quite sure he must be caught in traffic. So or else he would be
New Jersey.
Here. I know. It's awful. Talk about gridlock, huh? God, and it's even gotten worse. Are you driving these days or public transportation or what?
I drive, but, you know.
Yeah. I know. Get in here.
You know, the funny thing is that we're here and we're always doing stuff here at GoPro Radio
yeah.
Network. So we have a lot of people coming in
yeah.
and it's the same excuse. You almost feel like everybody got the memo.
Yeah.
Just tell Black Wax we're stuck in traffic.
It's true.
It seems like everybody's stuck in traffic on the way.
And it seems like there's more cars than not, you know, and plus with gasoline prices going up. I mean,
but I always say it's a good thing that we have call-in capability.
Yes, yeah.
So if you have a cell phone and you're stuck in traffic, you can still join us.
And the number for you to call to join us if you want to join this conversation is 323-679-0906, 323-679-0906. And I'm waiting for Gina Payne Scott to call in also, 323-679-0906. So many things are going on in the world, I'm telling you. There are, you know, as I was saying about the people who are coming next week. Oh, do you remember the, before I go into that, do you remember Sahima's story?
Yeah.
Do you remember when we did that story?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it seems that Sahima and us, we're working on a book. Because
oh, okay.
her story was so fascinating. You know, she was the young lady who was had gone to jail in the Philippines and as an American inmate because she was a drug mule.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll tell you right away, this is what happened to her. And she got caught up and she was arrested in the Philippines. She was in a Philippine jail for over 8 years. And then
wow.
through Amnesty International,
mm-hmm.
you know, through people constantly trying to call. And I say trying to call because they weren't doing such a hot job of it. Anyway, that's the only reason why she stayed into that jail for 8 years and the horrors that she went through during that time. You see, when we were talking to her, she was just giving an overlay of it.
Right.
But when you talk about the things that she was going through and the things that she had to do when she was in that kind of jail outside of the United States, couldn't contact anyone. Her sons grew up to be men. Be sure she was able, you know, to see them again. So, you know, we're going to be working on her story and a number of other ones. And then we're going to be pushing in New Jersey, of course, in the Amistad legislation. But we'll talk about that when we come back. Stay with us, everyone. Kay Thompson here with Ayanna Jones. And maybe we're going to be talking to Gus later on the telephone. I'm going to call him later. Okay? We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hear what you do to all you make your things happen. Ain't done right. To all my friends is understood. Everything I do, I try to do it good.
I feel like
every station you listen to, it's
playing the same songs,
petty nonsense,
doing the same thing,
over and over and then over again.
We can't tell the difference.
Money and bling this and dollar bill that is insulting.
The consolidation of radio overall
has kind of compromised.
Black radio has become so much like white radio.
I hate the radio now.
A lot of independent artists out there, they're just not getting the airplay.
It has affected
it being good.
Nobody's talking about it.
Much more pressing issues that we probably could discuss.
I miss the message.
Looking at whether it was a small AM, FM radio, there was a world just based on voices and tunes. And this little box that you can sit on your desk or sit by your bed.
It's a context for the music. It's a context for your day.
It was a homey feeling that I don't hear anymore.
So much more exhilarating to hear a song on the radio than to play it yourself at home.
One word that can stop someone from killing themselves, someone from giving up.
If you got the right voices and the right things being said on the radio, you can change the way people walk down the street.
I don't remember anything else but rap talk radio being like that.
Hot 97 in every city. 107 point wherever in every city, power whoever you are in whatever city.
And just like the Panther Party, they got rid of, they're getting rid of black people.
If we can't communicate with one another, then we don't know what's happening.
When we lose the power of our own voices, we lose complexity.
Also, you lose the sense of being able to respond.
Out of the thousands of radio stations in this country, only a handful are black owned.
So we have a problem here. The media doesn't look like America.
It all comes down to policy.
So I think we have a legacy of discrimination. And what have we done about it since? Not a lot.
It's not a new era. This has been a total removal. And if somebody didn't plan it, then I don't know how it happened.
And we are broadcasting from BW Moving Images Studios, and we are located in Jersey City, New Jersey, everyone, between Newark and Jersey Avenues. And, wow, this studio is really, really moving, I'm telling you. They have a radio network, a network, an actual network. That means that you have a, what do you call it, a line, an internet wire, you're on the air, and you have a lot of shows on your network. Mm-hmm. Do you have the Fred Ho story? Is that on the network?
That's
or is
actually,
that a documentary?
That's a documentary film that we are working on, working on, and we are going to be releasing that really, really, really soon.
Uh-huh.
I'll get back into GoPro Radio, but I just wanted to say really quickly that we just did discover recently that Fred Ho has become very sick again.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah.
So it doesn't, you know, from Fred's own, information and his prognosis. It doesn't look good.
Mm.
So we're moving the timeline up for the film because we want him to be able to see the finished product.
I see. Uh-huh.
So, you know, our love and best wishes go out to him. But as for GoPro.
And you also have All About Will?
A Strong Will.
A Strong Will,
which
right.
We actually have a shoot Friday.
Oh, really?
We're
going to
be, following Wilfredo around at work.
This Friday?
This Friday, April 2nd.
Uh-huh.
Good Friday.
Uh-huh.
A good Friday to follow Wilfredo Benitez. So that's going to be really fun because we're going to get a chance to see him at work doing what he loves to do.
Yeah, yeah, he's an attorney.
And then we'll be going into full-fledged editing on that project.
Uh-huh.
So this is going to be the summer of the Black Wax documentary, the BW Moving Images
documentary. No kidding. That's going to be exciting.
We're releasing two documentaries, so we're really excited.
Uh-huh.
But we are a network in the traditional sense in that we have several shows that air over GoPro Radio Networks.
Uh-huh.
We have the BCS Experience featuring Byron Saunders.
Uh-huh.
We have, of course, the illustrious Kay Thompson, the Kay and Gus show, giving you a closer look. And then we have my show, the Ayanna Jones Show.
Uh-huh.
I understand that Glenn Zarmanoff, who's here with us today in studio, is going to be joining the roster with the show.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Jersey City activist.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very active in terms of the 9/11 conspiracy.
Uh-huh.
He's been working diligently to gather a lot of information about how, you know, pretty much the theory is that the United States government has pulled the wool over the people's eyes in terms of what actually happened with 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And some folks say, oh, it's a conspiracy theorist stuff, but he's got a lot of good and relevant information.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll be joining the roster as well as Shahid Stover.
I'm dying to hear all that. Yeah.
Shahid Stover is the author of Hip Hop Intellectual Resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And he's an activist, but he works very closely with music and hip hop and I want to say the ghettos, and I mean that in a good way, because he really tries to bring to light a lot of the issues and the struggles and the experiences of poor people in urban settings.
Mm-hmm.
That is the ghetto.
Mm-hmm.
He's also a writer and an author, and a new dad. He has a 1-year-old,
mm-hmm.
and so he's going to be joining the family. So GoPro Radio Networks is growing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, that's really great. And you know, we also want to say hello to Brownstone Digital. Brownstone Digital. What?
I forgot something.
Yeah.
How could I forget the most important show on GoPro Radio Networks, New Radio Generation, our show that airs on Saturdays that features all teams. They
do all the
production.
Right. Is that Tati?
Tatiana and Tayana and Adriana Mackey.
Yeah.
All
I can't
teams.
Wait to talk to them. I'm going to get them on the air to find out what they're doing. To. Yeah,
they produce the show behind the scenes. They promote the show. They schedule the show. They run the show.
Yeah.
It's a total team show. So sorry, I forgot you guys.
You know, also, we should also tell people, too, that if you're interested in doing radio and if you're interested in doing television, you know, that's exactly what we do over here at GoPro Radio. So there's so much equipment here and all that sort of thing. And by the way, we're going to take a short break and we're going to get to Ali Al-Rahman. Stay with us, everyone. We will be right back.
Do what
you do, do it with all your might. Your things have done ain't done right. To all my friends is understood. Everything I do, I try to do it good.
I feel like
every station you listen to, it's
playing the same songs,
petty nonsense,
doing the same thing
over and over and then over again.
We can't tell the difference.
Money and bling this and dollar bill that is insulting.
The consolidation of radio overall
has kind of compromised
black radio.
Black radio has become so much like white radio.
I hate the radio now.
A lot of independent artists out there, they're just not getting the airplay.
It has affected
it being good.
Nobody's talking about it.
Much more pressing issues that we probably could discuss. I miss the message.
Looking at whether it was a small AM FM radio, there was a world just based on voices and tunes and this little box that you can sit on your desk or sit by your bed.
It's a context for the music. It's a context for your day.
It was a homey feeling that I don't hear anymore.
So much more exhilarating to hear a song on the radio than to play it yourself at home.
One word that can stop someone from killing themselves, someone from giving up.
If you got the right voices and the right things being said on the radio, you can change the way people walk down the street.
I don't remember anything else but black talk radio being like that.
Hot 97 in every city, 107 point, wherever in every city, power whoever you are in whatever city.
And just like the Panther Party, they got rid of, they're getting rid of black people.
If we can't communicate with one another, then we don't know what's happening.
When we lose the power of our own voices, we lose complexity.
Also, you lose the sense of being able to respond.
Out of the thousands of radio stations in this country, only a handful are black owned.
So we have a problem here. The media doesn't look like America.
It all comes down to policy.
So I think we have a legacy of discrimination. And what have we done about it since? Not a lot.
This is not a new era. This has been a total removal. And if somebody didn't plan it, then I don't know how it happened.
And we are back, everyone. We are back. Kay Thompson here for Kay and Gus Show here on Blog Talk Radio here at BW Moving Images in Jersey City. And I want to welcome to the show. He's caught in traffic. Coming from New York, my God, Aliyah Rahman, professor, how are you?
I'm fine, Kay. It was quite a trip.
It was quite a trip. Well, you know, listen, gridlock? Oh, God, I'm telling you.
It was wild.
It's awful.
I was caught on Broome Street for about an hour.
Oh, my God, okay.
And I kept looking at the clock, and I said, I'm supposed to be there. This is not happening.
Well, this is not going to be your first time here anyway, so, you know.
Well, I'll learn the shortcuts.
Well, we're glad to have you.
Yeah, same. I'm glad
I haven't
to be
seen
here.
You since LIB days.
Oh, that's been a while.
Now, you're a professor now, right?
Yes, I'm a professor in criminal justice over at Nassau Community College.
Wow, no kidding.
Yeah, I've been there since 1995.
What? No kidding.
Yes.
Now, when was the last time I saw you? Some 20 years ago, 15 years ago, or what?
Might have been
it
about...
It was in the 80s, right?
About 20.
Yeah, really?
Yes. Yeah,
God,
about 20 years.
You haven't aged.
Yes, I
everybody. But that is so great. So the course is going well.
Yes, everything is fine.
Have your students, wait a minute, first of all, we should tell how we met. Police report on WLIB. You were nice enough to have a group of policemen come on, you know, to deal with the problems of the community.
Right. I was the president of the Guardians Association, the Correction Department Guardians.
Uh-huh.
And I was also the chairperson of the Grand Council of Guardians. Mm-hmm. And that was all of the guardians in the city at that time.
And the guardians are black policemen.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And women.
And women, definitely. You have to include them in there.
Yeah.
And we came on your show with Ozzie Thompson.
Yes.
Who
yeah.
was the dean yeah. of community policing.
Remember him well.
Yes. And we came on and we spoke and got a great response from the community
yeah.
and with things that they wanted to know about policing. And so we made it a every week
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
a venture that we would come on and do police report.
And I don't
you.
Know if I ever thanked you, but what you did for the community in coming on with a group of, you know, African-American police persons was so important to the community because, as you know, a lot of them weren't getting good responses from some of the unnecessary stoppings and beatings and shootings, you know, from the police department.
That's correct.
And then when I had found out about the Civilian Review Board, let's face it, the Civilian Review Board at that time was full of you-know-what, you know, and they just weren't getting, you know, what they needed, but they were able to talk to you and your men and women, and it was wonderful for the community.
That's true.
Yeah.
We were able to be a bridge between the system and our community. Mm-hmm. So we were happy to do that. And it's being carried on now.
Yeah.
What I call the younger folks now are handling that. But as we went through, you know, there were a number of people who were sprung from that.
Uh-huh.
You know, Eric Adams, number one.
Yes, yeah.
Who was now going to run for borough president of,
oh, really?
Of Brooklyn.
Okay,
yes,
yeah.
He's a state senator
now.
Wow. Yeah, he did his first show with us.
Ali, before you go on, we have a caller. Am I right, Ty? Okay, we have a caller on the phone, and we're going to go right to this caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Gina. I'm calling in. Finally got through to you.
Yes, hello. How are you, Gina?
Hi, yes, you can hear me. I was just listening to the show, and I was holding in the call-in queue waiting for you to pick up, but I was listening to the first part of your conversation before Mr. Rockman got into the studio. And I just also, I remember when you had the police report when you were on WLIB, and I really just want to remind people that your old listeners of how important that particular segment was. At that time, I recall very clearly that you, with the Guardians and all the information that they gave the black community so much information that we needed to know about and what to look out for. And something that stood out in my mind at that time also was the importance of teaching young black males that if you get stopped by police officers, to basically follow their directions on the scene, because they're the ones on the scene who could you know, make or break that situation, turn it into a abusive situation, or you know, just process you. And then if you have an issue with them, if they've disrespected you, brutalized you, or have done something illegal, you take it up in court, because on the street is not the time to try to fight with the police officers, because that's the time when you get the police officer that doesn't care about, you know, or has a racial problem, will actually, you know, beat a you know, young black kid who's been pulled over for a traffic incident.
Yeah,
so I thought that was, I recall that as being very good information. You know, you might be right in your complaint with the police officer trying to ask questions, but that's not the time really to try to address them, because, you know, it could go either way. You know, you fight your battles in court, unfortunately, because otherwise you might have been subjected to getting, you know, brutalized by a police officer.
Yeah.
That's correct. Yeah. I believe we were handing out palm cards also in the schools, stating what you should do when stopped by the police. And it was something to give them what they should be doing while this was going on, because it's no difference now with the stop and frisk that's going on.
Yeah, that's awful.
In New York City now. And it's definitely not needed at this point, but the police commissioner seems to think so, and so those things are happening.
Definitely not needed. Is he kidding?
No, I'm saying it's not needed.
What do you mean the stop and frisk isn't needed?
The stop and frisk is not needed.
Yeah, sure.
You know, stating that they get a number of arrests from it, and they don't.
Mm.
You know, if you look at the statistics, it shows that the a number of arrests that come from the stop and frisk and the number of firearms and weapons recovered is not sufficient to show for a half a million people being stopped.
And is it true that the stop and frisk is mainly with the black and Latino kids?
That's what's been happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are statistics on that.
Yeah.
And
that is the racial profiling that's where I guess that whole term comes from, I guess, right? The racial profiling young.
I was stopping.
Yeah.
You fit the profile. Mm-hmm. So yes,
so Mr. Rockman,
we're trying to get through with all, get away from all of that, and it seems like when we did, then they just start back again.
Yeah. Your question.
Well, I think. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I wanted to, if you could, what those palm cards that you were handing out at the time, what if we could refresh, you know, some listeners' memories right now, what should you do in when you get stopped by the police?
Well,
how should you act?
You stated some of the things already. You know, you follow the instructions. If you have a beef with them, you don't do it there. Mm-hmm. That's the wrong time to do it. And, you know, just follow the instructions so that you can leave whole. If you have a complaint, don't ask them for the shield number. Just notice it. The shield number is there. You mm-hmm. just keep it in your mind, the shield number of that person. And usually they wear name tags. You can get the name also. Know the time and the date that you were stopped mm-hmm. and when you were abused. And then you can, later on, you get an attorney and you take it up. You don't get angry and run to the precinct
mm-hmm.
and to say, well, one of your cops, I have a complaint about one of your police officers.
Now, when that does happen, what happens then?
Usually you wind up being arrested for some type of disorderly conduct.
Yeah. So that's not the place you did to go to for the police precinct.
No, don't go to the precinct. You want to handle that with professionals.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you get yourself an attorney.
Get yourself a lawyer and you know.
Yeah, then you take it to the district attorney mm-hmm. or over to the courts. You don't want to do it with the police.
Is there a debate in the police department going on about this? Because the movement of, for instance, this case in Florida with the young Trayvon. Now, mm-hmm. that's not going to stop. You know, that was something that was bound to happen because of all the, you know, the police brutality, the issues. And it's not only happening in New York and New Jersey and Connecticut. It's happening all over. That's why there's so many people, you know, demonstrating.
That's correct.
So
because everyone feels it.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that hey, that could have been my son.
Yeah, sure. Exactly.
And that's why so many people are out there. And it goes back to profiling.
Yeah.
Well, he's got on a hood. He looks like he's up to something.
Mm-hmm.
He's suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
And these things...
because what that says is that they, in their heads, they're thinking that he is automatically suspicious because he is black or brown.
Yeah.
That's really it.
And basically, it goes into what Geraldo Rivera was talking about.
God, I can't believe
him. Yeah, that was really ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
But
he knows
you
that.
Shouldn't wear a hoodie because you look like a hood. God, cut that out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hoods have been around for a while.
Yeah.
And... just everyone that wears a hood is not a hoodlum.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just like, well, I shouldn't even say that. I'll get away from that.
Yes,
no,
yeah,
no,
you
can say no, I'm not going to say it. But you're stereotyping people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when this guy on the tape says to the 911 operator, well, he looks suspicious. He could be on drugs. He mm-hmm. goes, where's that coming from?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
a mentality
mm-hmm.
that's stereotypical mm-hmm. and put into the minds of people.
Well, how do you stop that? For instance, the stop and frisk. Now, this is done mainly with black and Latino kids. Okay, mainly. Let's face it.
Yeah.
But in the police department, isn't there anyone who has conversations like this and says, look, this is not fair. And look, this is one day going to come up and bite you in your behind, like now.
Well, the policy is set by the police commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the policy that they're looking to stay with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They seem to think that it works. They say, hey, well, crime is down. We're keeping crime down, but not by antagonizing the whole community.
Yeah, yeah.
And
right.
Some
and,
of that stuff,
and,
when I look at it, it's sinister also.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's making, because I remember when I was coming up as a kid, and in my neighborhood, the police would stop you
mm-hmm.
and ask you, you know, do you go to school? What are you doing? And if you said, oh, I want to be a police mm-hmm. officer, I want to be a fire officer, I want to do this, I want to do that. Okay, and then they write you up and give you what was called a JAB.
What's a JAB?
Card, which was a Juvenile Aid Bureau card, which stating that you were on
yeah.
the verge of being some
so
kind of juvenile
the
delinquent.
Kid, the kid or the person has that, and if he's ever
then you can't
for
get that job.
Employee,
can't
I'm
get that job.
You. And the stop and frisk thing, when they stop and frisk them,
when they
take
stop
them
and
to
frisk,
the precinct,
they're not
their entire
to.
Lives are ruined.
Well, definitely.
Yeah, you see?
Because... and this it plays into that sinister point that I talk about, is when if anyone who has been stopped and frisked has a problem with the police, maybe they're brutalized
uh-huh.
or, God forbid, shot
mm-hmm.
by a police officer, the first thing the police officers are going to do is say, well, he was known to the police department.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when they say that, then the media backs
go
off.
Up.
Yeah,
right,
it backs
yeah.
off. Mm-hmm. And it goes back into some of those things that we were talking about on the old show about the D's. First they deny it,
mm-hmm.
and then they'll yeah. defend it,
mm-hmm.
and then they'll distract you.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
and you can see all of these things
happening
mm-hmm. with the Trayvon mm-hmm. Martin case.
Mm-hmm.
First it was almost a denial. Oh, no, it was self-defense.
Yeah.
But when things started popping up showing that, hey, it couldn't have been self-defense because we see this and we see that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to defend him.
Mm-hmm.
And you see a number of people
of
that, oh, no, well, because of the law that we have, stand
yeah.
your ground,
mm-hmm.
we can do this. And you say, well, wait a minute. You can't do that either because if it's self-defense, why did he follow him? The police already
right.
told him to stop.
Uh-huh.
Leave him alone. We can handle that.
Mm-hmm.
And he went on and instigated it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't be an instigator and claim self-defense
mm-hmm.
later. And after that, it's the distraction is there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then they want to delay you.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, well, we'll have a grand jury in a couple of weeks.
Wait until the whole thing dies
maybe
down.
Next month.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe next month we'll have it. But with all the clamoring, and, you know, I have to give Reverend Sharpton
absolutely.
And Jesse Jackson
credit
for keeping the fires, the feet to the fire.
That's right.
And keeping this thing going
mm-hmm.
because it would have been forgotten about it in a day or so.
Yeah.
You know, the news cycle,
yeah.
something new comes up. Hey, forget about that. Let's mm-hmm. go back, go to here. But they kept it on until now the federal government is involved.
Mm-hmm.
The FBI is looking into
mm-hmm.
it. The Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice is looking into it. So there are a number of things that are happening now, and they say it's parallel to the prosecutor's case,
mm-hmm.
but they're doing their own investigations
mm-hmm.
now. And that is what was needed.
In the first place.
Yeah.
You
can't trust these
mm-hmm.
people to do that down there because they had already whitewashed this
yeah.
whole thing.
You know, Ali, as you know, there were so many of these kind of Yusuf Hawkins. Remember
oh,
that?
Oh, yeah. Remember
that
Yusuf Hawkins case? Yes.
Yeah. And that was of the young guy who was just chased down the parkway at that point?
No,
Yusuf was killed.
He was looking to buy a car.
To buy a car. That's right.
And,
yeah. You saw that on the young.
And they wanted to get him and they, what are you doing in this neighborhood?
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
then he was killed.
Mm-hmm.
Joey
and then
Farmer.
Also, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Joey Farmer was the guy that shot him.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think he was spending, 28 years or something. He did go to jail.
Yeah. He,
and a couple
yeah.
of others went to jail.
Right.
But the point is that the kid is dead, you know. And then also, Amadou Diallo.
Amadou Diallo. And
41 times shot.
41 shots.
Uh-huh.
Abner Louima.
Abner Louima from New Jersey. Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Eleanor Bumper.
Eleanor
Bumper.
Brad Evans, who was shot by... police officer Robert Torsney,
mm-hmm.
who
mm-hmm.
had an epileptic fit that he never had again.
Yeah.
All of a sudden he had
yeah.
this epileptic
yeah.
fit, mm-hmm. pulled his gun
mm-hmm.
and shot the kid in the head. There were a number of cases that we spoke
so
of.
So many. The Eleanor I remember so terribly. That was so awful about a grandmother. And I was reading mm-hmm. that when she was shotgunned twice.
Right.
You know, in
her
in,
own home.
Hand first. And
in her own home,
yeah,
Gina, right.
Home.
Yeah,
sure.
And that was so, to me, that was so unnecessary. There were so many other ways they could have, you know, restrained her if she was having some sort of mental breakdown or something. But they killed, they murdered that woman.
Yep.
So with things like adding up, this was bound to happen.
Oh.
And it was bound to happen all across. If it hadn't been for Al Sharpton and a few other people, guess what? It would have, somebody else would have done it. Because
have
had it, they've, you know. It's,
but
it's like a new slavery, you know.
Yeah,
it's
if you see what has happened in Florida since they passed that law,
yeah. mm-hmm.
95 people have been shot, 65
oh
killed.
Yeah, on that stand your ground.
Stand your ground. Yeah. It's a life.
Let me ask you about the sensitivity training that I recall that police officers had to undergo after a lot of these cases years ago. Was that effective, and do they still do sensitivity training to teach some of the white police officers that just because someone is black does not, you know, the first thought should not automatically assume that they're some sort of a criminal or engaging in criminal activity?
Yeah, that's a part of the whole
training
academy
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, Reverend Sharpton is a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
That on that particular training.
Yeah. Because
they bring all of the recruits up to the Apollo Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And they speak to them
okay.
there.
Yeah.
And they show them the community.
Ah.
You know, so, yes, that's been working.
What?
Because you don't have what you used to have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the overt type of action.
Yeah.
Every now and then you'll run across something that comes up and you say, wow, that smells.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy really did something mm-hmm. stupid.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
usually they're caught these days.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is working, but it's a lot of work to be done.
Okay.
With police departments.
We do have to take a break, and I want to ask you a few questions about your class, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to take a break right now, where we're going to be continuing on to talk. Ty, this is in the engineering room. Ty, number two. Ty Washington's son is in the engineering room. And Jeannie's giving me all kinds of, what is this?
Yeah.
You know? But anyway, Professor Ali Al-Rahman.
Yes.
Now, where are you teaching your course in criminal justice again?
Nassau Community College.
Okay. Have your students asked you about Trayvon Martin? Do they understand? Are they predominantly white, predominantly black, Latino, Asian? What? What's the ethnic makeup of your class?
Makeup in my classes now.
Primarily.
Primarily white kids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't call them kids because they're adults.
Young adults.
Do
they have some? Do they come with some understanding of, you know, our community or what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My college is very diverse.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started, it was not that many people of color there.
Uh-huh.
But as we started getting the word out to folks, I used to visit high schools and tell them, you know, this is the best kept secret in New York State.
No kidding. Really? Really?
Yeah, because number one, it's cheap. If you're a state resident, the tuition is cheap. And you could do 2 years and not spend a lot of money.
Uh-huh.
And this had been going on for a while because the school has been there over 70 years now. And I would say that my Caucasian counterparts, they would send their kids to the school for the 2 years.
Now, these aren't young law students, are they?
No, these are. No. This is a community college.
Yeah.
These are folks who don't want to spend that big tuition at a four-year school.
Yeah.
So they come to the two-year school first.
Mm-hmm.
And it saves them a lot of money.
Of course.
Because tuition in the four-year school is about $30,000 a year now.
Yeah.
In my school, it's about $6,000 tops for a year.
No kidding.
Yeah, so if you do 2 years there and you get an associate's degree and you get good grades, you can transfer
go right on to a four-year school.
Absolutely. And don't spend all of that money.
And sometimes you don't even have to do those 4 years.
So a number of those kids, they would come to Nassau, and the parents would buy them a car because they're saving on the tuition. So you get a car.
They would.
And then you go to school, and then you could go on to the four-year school with a car.
Now, Ali, let me ask you this.
Yes.
What do you have any story about a kid who just didn't get it? What's the most outrageous story that you heard from a student that you just sat back and said, oh, my God?
I had a student email me that he couldn't attend class that day because he had a hangover.
Oh.
What?
He didn't say. Just said he had a hangover.
Uh-huh.
And the next class, I saw him. I said, I want to speak to you.
Uh-huh.
And he came up to my desk and I said, let me tell you something. I don't ever want to see that again. If you want to email me and tell me you're not coming to class, that's fine. Just leave it at that.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to know about your personal life.
Uh-huh.
Don't tell me you have a hangover because you just lost a couple of grades right there.
Yeah.
What a dummy.
Yeah. So you cannot get an A now.
Uh-huh.
And you're teetering on messing with a C. Because you're stupid. You know?
Again, Mr. Rockman, which course is it that you teach again?
Oh, I teach a few in the criminal justice area.
You need to come to New Jersey. The Rutgers University. How about Seton Hall? How about Kane needs to be in New Jersey?
I teach criminal behavior.
Listen, I am getting the signal right now that we have to end the show, Gina.
Oh, the show's
Gina,
over.
We have to end the show. How are y'all?
Oh, wow.
Thank you. you so much. Thanks, Gina.
Thank you, Gina. Good hearing from you again.
Yes, nice talking to you. We have to continue this conversation. It went so quickly. There's so much good information.
Okay. Also, you're going to have to come back again, and we're going to have to start a segment on A Close to Look with Kay and Gus regarding police reports. So it'll be revisited.
Okay.
Would that be okay with you?
Sure.
All right, so we're going to sit down and work this out. Thanks to Ty. Thanks to everybody at GoPro Radio Network here at BW Movie Images Studio located in Jersey City. And I will see you next Wednesday. Remember, Betty Neals and Glenda Taylor, they're going to be on. These ladies are fantastic. Wait until you hear what we're going to be talking about. They see things. I see things. Very spiritual. They are poets. They are writers. It's going to be absolutely fascinating. So join us again for the Kay and Gus Show. I'm Kay Thompson.